Broconcha with Anna DePlantis for another day of broadcast insolence. And Judy's last day of broadcast insolence.
Yes.
Although I have a feeling that we have not heard the last of Judy.
People are asking, will we get to hear your voice again on WGN Radio, or is it off
like
into the sunset?
People like me don't stop talking.
That's for sure.
We don't go quiet. You know what I'm saying?
Oh,
maybe for a while.
Yeah. You went quiet a little bit yesterday, though, didn't you?
we nearly lost her yesterday.
Because now, I found this to be very interesting because I was not here yesterday, but I heard, I was far flung, hundreds of miles away from Chicago, and still heard about this.
Our high temperature, right around 40. I'm WGN meteorologist Demetrius Ivory.
Judy?
Judy is having a coughing attack. I just heard.
It's okay. Sorry, I stepped in to help.
We were going to save you, but we were talking.
Are you eating peanuts?
I took a swig of my delicious coffee, and it went down the wrong way.
She literally turned blue at one point, but no one noticed. And then finally, producer says, Judy can't speak. Help her.
Let's really talk about what no one noticed. The dead air. Three people in the studio.
We thought it was a pilot pause.
Let me tell you something. We wait. I have learned, this is the one thing about this being your last day, that the only thing that saddens me, that doesn't sadden me about this being your last day, is that I will at least now know if someone has screwed up because there's dead air. Because you do it as a piece of drama, art, and I'll get to it when I get to it. It's really the whole point.
You know what? You need to wait for good things in life. They don't just come. They just happen.
I want to say that you are not my first news person to do this. This, I want to play this, because this was a very scary moment. The great Jim Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
People think, is he still alive? Yes, he's still alive. Not working, but he's still alive.
Love Jim.
He's one of the best. Not as good as Judy. I will say that Judy is the best news person I've ever worked with as a technical news person.
Fine.
No question about it. Yeah,
the heavens have opened. Thank you.
That's really true.
That took a lot out of you, didn't it?
It did. It absolutely true. But Jim was fun. Let's put it that way. It wasn't always accurate, but he was fun. And then this happened.
In other sports news, the Cubs lost to the Dodgers. Excuse me. This is not a part of the tribute. Let's do the PGA leaderboard update.
You're still trying to make it happen.
I'm so bad there, but I would never have gone back on. Like yesterday. No.
Right.
Leaderboard. I'm going to leaderboard.
Poor guy. Oh. Sometimes you just breathe in wrong, and it happens.
Yeah.
Wow, he's I got to give him credit.
Yeah.
He just plowed right through.
Right. I mean, they were Heimlicking, and he's still working it.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah.
That's dedication.
Yeah, yeah. That certainly was.
Are we still in news?
No,
we're in the show.
This is the show. Would you give me a heart attack?
I'm lost.
This is the show.
No, I just did the 3 o'clock for the last time.
All right, I have, listen to this. Ready?
I got
cool stuff here to give away in honor of Judy. I'm going to say that even though it has nothing to do with it. We have got a pair of tickets each hour to see the Boston Bruins take on our beloved Blackhawks. We're on a winning streak, by the way.
Yeah, good to see.
At Notre Dame Stadium, New Year's Day. Visit Blackhawks Hockey House, now open at 333 North Michigan Avenue, just south of the Blackhawks store, filled with one-of-a-kind team exhibits, exclusive Winter Classic merchandise, and so much more. Celebrate the new year at NHL Winter Classic Park. This free fan festival is in Millennium Park on December 29th through the 31st. Enjoy games, food, drinks, and meet and get autographs from your favorite Blackhawks.
So you're giving them away tickets?
Yes.
Every hour.
I'm giving away a pair of tickets to that every hour, and in 1 hour, I'm giving away a pair of tickets to that and another pair of Hawks tickets as well.
Wow.
How about that?
Season of giving.
Oh, it is. And that's what I do. Because you know what? I'm a lover, not a hater.
You're
a
giver.
I'm a giver, not a taker.
Well done. Someone's going to really appreciate those, because that will be an awesome game.
Yeah. Oh, it's historic.
It is.
I mean, it's the original six matchup. Mm-hmm. It's at Notre Dame Stadium.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I mean, outside.
I hope it snows that day. Wouldn't that be great?
Oh, I love that.
Don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's gonna be quite the scene. I mean, two of the most iconic sports franchises, let alone hockey franchises, at Notre Dame Stadium.
Yeah. So that's the sort of thing you will tell relatives about, and they won't be interested in it.
But you'll tell them anyway.
But you'll say, check my Instagram page. And then people go, what's an Instagram page? Your grandkids will say that.
Because it'll be something way cooler.
Way cooler.
Hologram page.
And it happens in the back of your eyeball. You don't even have to have a machine for it anymore.
Isn't that where they're going to be wearing the felt jerseys? The classic?
Yes.
Right. Felt is back, we learned.
Yeah.
The Right. Fabric that kind of went out for a while, but now it's back in because those Winter Classic jerseys.
It's a tribute to the felt. They're amazing.
Right. And that's exactly what it is. It's a tribute to felt and to winter and to the Bruins. All right.
They know how to cook at the firehouse, that's for sure.
Yeah.
They really do.
Don't you love it when you're in the grocery store and you see those guys buying the groceries? Yeah.
There's like a stack of meat.
I'm like, you can go in front of me. Go in front of me.
Right.
Just in case.
Well, I also like to just follow them around and see what they're making. Because some of those guys are the best.
They are.
Right? It's like that
they're
scene.
They're cooking all the time.
It's like that scene from The Godfather.
And they're so like rough looking, but then they're like holding up the tomatoes to like make sure they're perfect.
Or they're buying a certain brand of sea salt. You're like, oh, really? They know what they're doing.
Yeah, they do know what they're doing.
Do they just have like one person who does it, or does everyone have to have a cooking day?
No. I think they have guys, per shifts.
Because they look like pros.
Guys who know what they're doing, yeah.
Mm-hmm. You always know they're there because they pull up right in front of the...
Right.
The jewel.
Yeah, and then I will pull up in front of it. Even though I'm not planning on doing that, I will pull up in front of the jewel and because I know they're in there and I just want to follow them to what they're getting. And it is always, it's always rib meat of some way, shape, or form. And they're going to slow cook it. So it's good for hours and hours and hours. Yeah.
A lot of slow cooking.
Yeah.
Oh, it smells good in a firehouse around dinner time.
Yep. That's the best. Just, they're the best. And then they're out saving you. Sometimes,
sometimes they don't get to eat that
right.
dinner.
Last time I had a fire in my house, I asked them what they had for dinner that night. I was interested.
The last time you had a fire
in
your house?
Yeah, I have them all the time.
Floods, fires, roast house.
Cooking fires.
I'm very Old Testament. I have whatever could possibly go wrong. It goes wrong. It goes wrong in like a really big way. It's kind of fun. It's kind of a fun thing.
Thanks for our fire. We're very thankful for our firefighters.
That's 110% right. Mm-hmm. They are the best.
They are.
All right. Let me just say this, that right now we are going to be joined by a man who just finished a podcast. And the name of that podcast is Man of
Careful, that nearly took Judy out yesterday.
You sounded like you hurt something when you did that.
Yeah. I'm okay now.
You sure? Are you fine?
Nope, I'm not. No, I really did. I really actually did take something out right there.
Does your back hurt?
Yeah, no. I got a pain in my side now. Oh, man. All right, Michael Steele, some people have had bad weeks, and other people have had really bad weeks. And now we have a Donald Trump-esque bad week. And I just would like to ask you, are the wheels coming off here?
Yeah, I think in ways that a lot of folks hoped they wouldn't, meaning the departure of General Mattis, in ways that some expected they would with the elevation of the Mueller probe. And I think what you're seeing is the president react and respond to both of those events in a way that is typical. One begets the other. The bright shining object is Afghanistan. It is certainly the situation with Turkey and all of that. This president is trying, he's flailing now, and he's isolating himself, not trying to do psychobabble analysis here. I mean, this is something everyone objectively can look at. You don't have to be a partisan, supporter or hater of Donald Trump to see the isolation that is occurring with this president in the White House, from communication to policy to political, and now legislatively with the threat of a shutdown after his own White House, with the vice president going to the U.S. Senate and assuring them that the president would sign whatever came out of the House and Senate, just some, 8 hours away from a government shutdown. So, yeah, this is a tough spot for the country. It's more of a tough spot for the American people, particularly those who on Wednesday and Thursday of next week and going into the new year may not receive the services that they require or the checks that they need.
Yeah. Okay, so a lot of people would say, all right, well, the guy wants $5 billion for the wall. He wanted $25 billion originally. Let's just give him the $5 billion. What's the big deal? Why are there still reticent Republicans in the Senate about this?
Because you're giving him $5 billion for what? What are you getting in return? First off, those reticent Republicans are the same ones who don't, like their fellow Democrats, don't think we need to build a wall, which, by the way, is no longer a wall. It's more like aluminum siding. Just so, you know,
talking
about, well, right, you know, we can get some aluminum slates or something and put up, you know, yeah, this aluminum siding brought to you by Home Depot. You know, this is what we're talking about. They don't take it seriously because no one wants to do it. First off, you cannot build a wall because we're not even going to get into the land grab that would be required to do that, number one,
right,
which I would think most Republicans would have an objection to, the federal government coming in and condemning your land and taking it away from you because they want to build a damn wall. So those Republicans are reticent to go down that road. There's the cost. You're right. It was the Democrats that offered $20 billion in exchange for DACA. Remember that discussion?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, guess where we are as of 2 hours ago? Republicans are now putting DACA back on the table, trying to sweeten the pot to get the Democrats they need because the Republicans do not want to exercise the nuclear option on legislation. Because the moment they do, they lose the Senate in 2 years, where now we require 51% of the body to pass legislation, no more filibuster. You're no different than the House when it comes to passing bills. And so the majority really will rule absolutely, and it will be a recourse for the minority. So McConnell is sensitive to that. He's getting pressure from Rush Limbaugh and others to go out and engage in the nuclear option, which is boneheaded, crazy, dangerous politics. We already see now the impact on our Supreme Court and judicial nominations and how that whole process has become degraded into nothing more than a fist fight or food fight. So, yeah, I mean, here we are, and the president is loving every minute of it and can't wait to get to Mar-a-Lago to watch it all unfold.
Well, the nuclear option, when it was for judicial nominees, when that became the rule, of course, at the behest of Democrats, right, and then they lived to rue that day. Republicans right. will live to rue that day if it comes to budget items. It is just there is no way to run a railroad. The reason you want the Senate to be not only statewide elected officials that, you know, rise to a little higher level than maybe a congressional district official is a little bit, you know, that they're going to be a little bit more temperate. On top of that, you also want to make sure that there's real, true, thoughtful consensus about big pieces of legislation. And that's why the 60 to 40 rule in the Senate is a really, really good one. And you don't get wacky gyrations of public policy or tax. These are the kinds of things that can really cause problems in a society. And when you start to see the velocity of government get faster in this, and, you know, of legislation get faster, it becomes cheaper.
No, it does. You're absolutely right. And the cost, not just the financial cost, given the fact that Republicans are acting like drunk sailors on shore leave with an open bank account when it comes to the spending that's occurred over the last 2.5 years. But the emotional and individual cost that we all pay as a society, where these institutions no longer function properly, they no longer matter because what they're doing matters less. And you don't want a situation where the Senate is no different than the House. The House is supposed to be raucous. It's supposed to be
boisterous.
The power center for the majority. Right. Okay, we won. You know, we got one more player on the field than you do. We control. Okay. Got it.
Short-term thinkers.
You go and say,
big mouths.
Doesn't matter that you got one more player.
I know. All right. We're going to leave it there. We will not talk to you until after the new year. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year, Michael Steele.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. God bless you, your audience, and all the folks who in this country who do the hard work that they do every day to keep us strong. So,
thank you, sir. Appreciate that. That's
100%
accurate. Thank you, sir. All right. There he goes. Michael Steele, Man of Steel. See, I'm not even gonna mess with him right now.
Use that silly voice.
Yeah, I'm not gonna do it. Right now, I got a pair of tickets to see the Hawks take on the Bruins. Winter Classic at Notre Dame Stadium. New Year's Day. This is Blackhawks Hockey House now, open at 333 North Michigan Avenue. One of a kind. Team exhibits, exclusive Winter Classic merchandise. And you can celebrate New Year in NHL Winter Classic Park. Free Fan Fest, Millennium Park, December 28th through the 31st.
All right.
Woo-hoo! Caller number 19, 312-981-7200 rips us off. 312-981-7200. See, now that's good.
That's some good news.
And somebody just made, just was conferred some benefit as a result of that, right?
Because we did something good.
Yeah, we did something real nice right there.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what is not so nice is what's happening on the Dow Jones Industrial Average. And in the stock market, equities markets in the United States of America, and Susie Sunshine is here. Susan Schmidt, she is the head of U.S. equities for Aviva Investors. And all I want to say, Ms. Schmidt, is this. Run for the exit!
Please. I don't think that's what Susan's going to say.
Oh dear. Well, it's sort of what we expect from Roe. So the panic is set in, which means that there's a little bit of concern certainly from Roe and what's going on in the market. And if you just look at the headlines, it has been a tough week. So we're down, around 6% this week on the major indices. It's been a really rough market this week. The Fed came out, they did raise interest rates up to 2.5%, and everyone was largely expecting that, but Chairman Powell came out, and in his dialogue and Q&A, he wasn't as supportive as the market was hoping for with regards to what they would do on that path for future raises in the interest rate for 2019. And so that gave the market a little bit of a scare. We had the management team from FedEx talking about what's going on the global side, and they suggested that there might be a slowdown in global growth, so that made the market a little bit nervous. And then overall, we still have a little bit of uncertainty around China, and we've got, as I'm sure you've noticed, a bit of news coming out of Washington, which doesn't help. It's not really going to affect the markets, whether we have a government shutdown or not, because that'll be seen as temporary and a pass-through. But that political noise worsens sentiment, and it reminds the market how dysfunctional D.C. is right now.
You saw there was a White House advisor who made news, I think, overseas in Asia, telling an Asian reporter in a major newspaper, I think in Japan, that this whole 90-day deal that they have with China, probably it's going to be very difficult to get it done in that 90 days, and that had some very strong remarks about China stealing the future of U.S. and Europe. It feels as if that one we were hoping sort of had come to, it was, there was some certainty in the future for that, and then you look at those comments and it doesn't seem, it's unsettling again to hear that.
Well, it is, but remember that's the pattern that the market has come to expect with the administration, because we are whipsawed. We have comments about we had a great dinner, President Trump feels very good about his dinner with President Xi, and then 2 days later he's tweeting about being a tariff man, suggesting he's going to be really tough on dealing. And so we've seen this whipsawing of positions back and forth, things are going to get worked out, things can't possibly get worked out. We aren't really sure, and that ongoing uncertainty, the market's become, I think, used to it, but it's still this unknown. And so we have an idea of what the tariffs might cost. That's very scary because no one likes to think about rising costs when we are also hearing about signs of global growth slowing. And it might be slowing elsewhere, and that usually means that growth is going to start slowing here. So that is what people are worried about, that's what's coming. We're finally towards the end of this recovery, and we're going to start to see things really level off.
Right. So the global piece is really the one that, if there's a takeaway of this week, that would be the biggest concern to investors.
I think that is really the biggest concern to investors. And the double whammy there is that we got the concern about the global growth really brought into focus by the comments from the FedEx management team on their call. And then the following day, we had Chairman Powell out talking about how the increase in interest rates and that they you know, see a reason to continue to increase rates in 2019. And the market really wanted more support than that and wanted to hear that they were really focused in on what was going on. The fact that the Fed and unanimously voted for the increase this time around, which the market expected, but didn't soften their language as much as they wanted around 2019, on top of commenting that, you know, it's just volatility in the market that's, you know, irrespective of what's going on in the economy, it doesn't matter, that threw the market off.
All right. So I heard a very wise sage earlier today, so I'm stealing it right now, which is that as we head toward a recession, one of the things, and I know a radio talk show host warned about this about a year ago, and no one listened to him, but the president has used a lot of tools in the toolbox. When they passed the big budget last year, at the end of last year, almost a little more than a year ago, the big tax change, right?
Sure.
That is a big tax readjustment there. So if the and we're in a booming economy. That's a year ago, things were, you know, green arrows up.
Right.
And then they pass this huge tax decrease. And he's yelling at the Fed not to raise the interest rates, which that's another tool in the shed you could have if we do have a recession. You lower interest rates, right? Make money a little cheaper when the economy is really going. You can make money a little more expensive. It's a good time to do it. Mm-hmm. And it just seems like crazy to me that where we find ourselves now is if we do head into some form of a global slowdown, recession, whatever we want to call it, may just be a natural adjustment. It may not take very long. It won't be like it was 10 years ago. But
it's certainly not going to be like 2008. That's not what we're talking about. So.
Right. But are there fewer tools in the toolbox to try to ease that?
Well, the magnitude of the tools in the toolbox has lessened. So, you know, that screwdriver isn't quite as precise as it was before, and it's going to take a little more jiggering because the interest rates aren't as high. We can't put as dramatic an impact on it. Taking rates from 2.5% down to zero isn't the same as taking rates from 5% down to zero. So, obviously, less magnitude. On a relative basis, we can still drop rates, you know, 30%, 50% if we needed to. But that was the important thing for the Fed to start increasing rates and not leave them at zero. They needed to have something that they could work with. The other thing that normally the markets would look to and say, okay, well, this is a bright light and this will help soften as we go into a slowing economy, it would be government spend. And so there's been a lot of attention paid to what's going on with the defense bill. Long ago, it seems, there was talk of an infrastructure spending plan. But people are worried about the size of the deficit, the budget, and that dysfunction in Washington. So this time around, the market isn't really looking to government spend to help out. They look at to the private sector, and they're really looking at businesses, trying to figure out how businesses are going to handle and adjust to the shift.
Help us put this in perspective, because I think these last few weeks, and maybe even this year, if you're looking at your 401k, it can look a little bit frightening, or certainly not what you'd hope for. But we've had this great period of expansion. The economy has done very well for a very long period of time now. And you've talked to us before about a soft landing and how this might just be slowly slowing down in terms of growth, but that is that healthy for this economy overall to do that after this period of almost unprecedented growth?
Well, economies go in ebbs and flows, right? They run, and that's why we have the Fed using that interest rate to help keep it from getting too hot and then help spur activity and keep it from getting too cool when they drop interest rates. So what we're having now is a natural progression of the economic life cycle where it's not hyper growth all the time. We've had a nice, slow, steady growth and recovery session here. We have costs going up. We're at full employment. You know, labor costs are going to start to increase. We've seen some signs of raw materials increasing, which means profitability is going to get pressured. And that's what the market is looking at and saying, I value companies based on their profitability. If the profits are going to get lowered, should I lower the price for them? And I'm anticipating into the future what's going to happen.
We learn something here every day. There's like some little inside that only the really good people who do this know that none of the rest of us know, and you never hear on CNBC. Because at the CNBC, they're still looking into the camera, turning one shoulder at you and telling you about how fabulous something
with very
is.
Slicked hair.
Yeah, very slick. I don't understand what's going on. And still white ties. Everybody looks like Gordon Gekko's niece or nephew. So But that's a really interesting thing, because that's what you do. I mean, you look for companies to figure out what, you know, where they're going to find their profitability, and that's basically a CFO trick you just taught us right there, which is pretty good.
That's what investors are going to look for, and this is where we're going to see companies that are able to differentiate themselves, because they're going to be better operators. They're better at managing their businesses when it comes to rising costs. A lot of business teams have not had to confront this kind of environment for multiple years now. They've had cheap, zero-cost debt. You know, raw material costs have been the same or falling, and it's been easy to get labor. So all of that has changed. We're going to see companies react to that differently. And we have had a great run. So, Anna, you are right in recognizing that since 2008, we've had a really nice progression of upward movements in our 401ks and our investments, because the market has been trending upwards. We haven't had a correction in quite some time. We're having one now. It's a tough period because we're in a void right now of both news. We don't have any significant economic data coming out, and we don't have any liquidity in the market because everyone's on holiday.
When she says news, it means something different than when we say
exactly.
News. Exactly. There's no news. She means that the earnings aren't being reported. And when we say there's news, we mean Trump just tweeted something.
He said something on fire.
All right, I got 30 seconds left. What should investors look at to hedge right now?
Well, right now, don't panic. That key factor, the void that I just talked about, no liquidity in the market. Right now, the market is not recognizing the underlying strength. If anything, we've overcorrected to the downside, just letting off steam, and a lot of emotional trading here as people panic, just wanting this year to be over and wanting to get out of the way of it. So I would say look to the longer term. Be careful on trading during this period because, again, not a lot of liquidity, not great pricing because you don't have a counterpart there. So things are being overly penalized and buyers just aren't stepping in.
All right, there you go.
Good advice. All right.
Thank you very much. Susie Sunshine, as she's known here. Susan Schmidt, as she's known everywhere on the planet Earth. Thank you. The future is upon us.
It is.
Elon Musk has invented a thing that goes in a tube that goes real fast underground.
A Tesla in a tunnel.
And he says he can get us to go from downtown to O'Hare
in 12 minutes.
In 15 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
And he can do it, and he can get the whole project done in 3 weeks. Give him the money, don't worry about it. So he invited a bunch of aldermen. We talked about this,
mm-hmm.
or alder persons. After the first of the year, we had to refer to them as alder persons.
Yes, that's a new rule, state legislature. Non-specific.
He invited a bunch of alder persons from Chicago to try to convince them that this is really going to work. He invited them out to California to to one of the test tracks of the Boring Company,
mm-hmm.
which is the exact opposite of what it is. Because it's wacky. It ain't boring.
It's pretty exciting. You could say that.
I don't know what it does, but that anything Elon Musk does, it's not boring, but it may not work either. We don't know. But here's the thing. They dug a big hole in the ground, and then they put all of these alder peoples into a tube and shot them underneath the floor of the Southern California landscape.
Test tube. It was described as like a vacuuming, like a vacuum effect. But
well,
have a guy who knows.
One of our alder persons, our alder people, right here.
Our favorite alder person,
Matt O'Shea, is joining us. And you were in the tube, and you got shot through it. Was it good? Was it bad? How would you describe?
Did you throw up?
It was. I'll tell you how it was. Thanks for having me on, though, Anna. It's nice talking to you guys. We were in a Tesla. There was four people in the car, and we pulled onto like a platform, and then we were dropped down an elevator shaft very slowly to about 30 feet below grade into the tunnel, and then the tunnel is a little over a mile.
Mm-hmm.
Drove through the tunnel. I think our highest speed was about 50 miles an hour. So all told, it only took about a minute and a half, but it was it was a neat experience.
Yeah, but I get listen, if I go at the right time of day, I'm getting to O'Hare at exactly that same speed, too, on the Kennedy.
But what he was saying was that this is the concept and that the eventual one would go a lot faster and be a lot less bumpy.
Yeah. I mean, what they're saying or what he's saying he could do here is that 17-mile ride they could do in 12 minutes.
Yeah.
Well, you know, we're a long way from that. But, you know, experiencing the concept out in Los Angeles, and, you know, he is in discussions with Washington, D.C., with Las Vegas, and obviously Los Angeles. So I think, you know, this type of technology is... it's there.
I think a subway in Los Angeles is always a brilliant idea. When they first built the subway in Los Angeles, you're like, you know, you're on a fault line. You know that, don't you?
All the headlines, Alderman O'Shea, the Sun-Times Tribune say that the city's delegation emerged more convinced after testing it out that this transit system is the right fit for Chicago. Would you agree with that? You think it's the right thing?
I mean, this is definitely something we should explore. You know, I know everyone wants to talk about Elon Musk, because he's this eccentric, odd person. I mean, this guy talked several years ago about building an electric car, and people laughed him off. And, you know, we've got Tesla.
Yeah, and talk to some of the people who own Tesla and ask them if they're going to buy another one. But that's a separate issue. Go ahead.
And then he said, you know, hey, I'm going to build rocket ships, and everybody laughed. And I mean, SpaceX, his other... they've got 21 missions to the International Space Station.
Yeah, that's true.
We've got to, you know, we got to give some credit to this guy for what he's accomplished.
Well, okay, you said that twice now. Are we there yet? No. So what do we have to do to get there?
You know, I think we need to further these discussions. I can't speak for my colleagues, but, you know, it's something we should look at. This is about exploration. This is about moving forward. I think there's possibilities here, and I'm excited to hear more from them. It was nice to get out there and actually see it, to experience it. Certainly, I would have to believe what the Boring Company wanted. That the track wasn't as flat and as smooth as they would have wanted, but.
You know, when I heard that, I thought to myself, why were they doing it like that?
Wouldn't you just wait?
Yeah, but maybe they thought Chicago, they'll fall for anything. We'll put them out on this one. We'll get those guys to come out.
We've ridden the L. Right. We know what that's like.
Did you see what Amazon did to Chicago? They'll fall for anything. I don't know how this ends. I mean, I don't mind the idea of a big public works project like that, and he says it's going to go fast. There are some logistical issues that you know are a pretty big here that no one talks about, which is you have to have escape hatches in these tunnels every number of half mile or whatever, you know, 1,000 yards, whatever it happens to be. And there's the issue with that is you got to the contract work to buy that land from whoever actually presently owns it becomes its own sort of issue, unless you're going to follow already existing lines, go underneath all the already existing lines. Then you got some other issues there. But anyway, a lot to be discussed there. I'm glad that you enjoyed yourself. I'm glad you're not one of the people who almost threw up.
You didn't get sick, yeah, Alderman O'Shea? Nothing?
No, it was riding in a car. Oh. You know?
Alderpersons are so...
very tough people.
Some of them are tough, and some of them are just whiners. He's present company accepted from that. He's not a whiner. He's a tough guy. But there are some others who came out of that like, oh, Lord! Lord, I thought I almost died!
Well, there was one reporter that the national press said had actually gotten sick on this ride.
Oh, no. So, do you want to get in that thing?
Really?
Yes. They never named who it was, but a reporter got sick.
I would hope not. What a pansy. You went 50 miles an hour. I mean, come on.
Because, you know, imagine if that was the first person in the car, and then all the rest of the Alder people had to get in the car afterwards. And like, hey, what is that? Ew. Ew. All right. Hey, Alderman, I want to change the subject very, very significantly here for a moment, because today, now you're the Alderman down in the southwest side of the city of Chicago. And two of Chicago's finest were lost this week, and both of whom will be one today and one tomorrow were being waked and then celebrated in church at St. Rita. And the city mourns for these two young Chicago police officers who lost their life, and this makes this year 2018 one of the deadliest in Chicago police history.
Yeah, it's been a rough year for the men and women in blue. Devastating. Both these officers resided here in our community. Not a lot of time on the job, but they were the real deal. They were the real police. They were out there Monday night answering the call. And, attending Conrad Gary's funeral this morning, Father Brandt did a wonderful job capturing about who he was. A veteran, served in the United States Air Force, only been on the job a year, a young daughter. Just such a sad, sad tragedy. And then I'm actually on my way over to Blake Lamb right now for Eduardo Marmoleo's wake this afternoon. Deeply devastating.
Deeply devastating in America. A moment. America should take a pause for the Chicago Police Department, and Chicagoans should take a moment here over this holiday to remember those families in their prayers. Four Chicago police officers lost while doing their jobs this year alone, mm-hmm. and then the number of others taking their own lives this year.
Right. The video of the children lined up along the funeral procession was just so moving. It was just so really great to see the support for this family, and I know hopefully there'll be more support for years to come, because he had young families and very little time on the force, but it's a tough battle ahead for these families, and just to see that support, I'm sure, counts for something.
I have to believe it helps a little for these families, but yeah, we've got to do more, and it can't just be the next few weeks. And Ro, you know how hard the Chicago Police Memorial Foundation does to support our fallen families. We're lucky to have them.
Yeah, without question. And they presented $60,000 checks each to the families just to get through these next few weeks of expenses, bringing family in, making sure all the funeral expenses are covered, and making sure that there's that those families don't have any immediate needs as all the rest of the economics work their way out here, and then the education for those children, as they were for the Bauer family. And now these three families that have all been lost in with quick succession here. In the last 8 weeks, we've lost 7 weeks. We've lost three other Chicago police officers with young children, mm-hmm. and all those children's educational expenses will be covered all the way through graduate school by the Police Memorial Foundation. So those families will not have to worry about that, which is really an amazing thing. So it's just it's a way to. So people should remember that, too, if you're doing any end-of-the-year charitable giving.
It's a great place to give.
CPMF, CPDmemorial.org is where you go for that. All right. Alderman, thank you. I'm sorry. We're all sorry for Chicago's loss here, and specifically it affected your community directly, and our thoughts are with the community of Mount Greenwood tonight. Yeah. So thank you very much. Appreciate it, sir.
Thanks, you guys. Happy holidays.
Yep, you too. That's the Rokon Show with Anna DeVlantes right here on 720 WGN. Judy Pylak's last day. We're going to be celebrating her at 6 o'clock. Judy likes when she's celebrated.
6? I've been being celebrated all day. Where have you been? Come on. Join the party.
Seems like we need more
than
6.
I have not even started drinking yet, so get used to this batitude.
Yeah. I'm
familiar with it.
For the last 4 years, I've been used to this batitude.
Ro, I hardly know you.
Yeah, I know. I know. Isn't that the truth? Isn't that the truth?
But I got to say, you're really smart.
Okay.
That's all you're getting.
Yeah. Okay. Let's talk. Let us thank you, Judy. And you're the best news person I've ever worked with. You're welcome, Judy.
Thank you.
It's true, though. I like to make it like, I mean, it is really true. And I don't like to tell her that, because then she gets all like,
Like what? Like more than I am?
Yeah.
My head couldn't get any bigger.
I know.
I can barely walk now.
I'm just afraid it's going to explode.
It might by the end of the night.
Okay. So there's that. Now, the best sports guy I ever worked with is Lou Kanellis.
No question.
Thank you.
And that started, I can't even say how many years ago, because it's going to make us both feel really
bad.
That's
okay. That's okay. I'm proud of my age.
Okay.
54.
All right. We're both 54, and we started 32 years ago.
WLUW.
Was our first show together. It was in the summer of 1986.
Yeah.
How about that?
Isn't that crazy?
That is crazy. And then went on to greatness and to highs and lows, Lou. We did the worst sports radio show in the history of Chicago sports radio for a while.
But we had fun doing it.
Why was it so bad?
Because it was
misplaced.
They put it at 5 o'clock in the afternoon on a political talk station.
Against two sports talk stations in the market.
Yeah. And they were like, hey, you guys, they want us never to discuss sports at all. When I was working at the other place, mm-hmm. they were like, can't discuss it at all. And like on the Super Bowl, can't discuss it unless they're kneeling. Then you can discuss it. Right? And then they put out research, and there was research that, you know, people are interested in sports in Chicago. Like, that was some sort of a genius concept.
Yeah. Who paid for that?
Right. And then they're
great,
like,
research.
We're going to do a sports show right in the middle of prime time.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Oh, my God. It was so...
Smarter people are in management than you and I.
Yeah. Dunderheaded. Anyway, but we've had some great moments here. And now we get to talk about... This is something you and I have never really had the great opportunity to cover together. A great championship Chicago Bears team.
A possible Super Bowl run.
Yeah.
I mean, think about it, Ro, because the Bears haven't been to the playoffs since 2010.
Right.
We've done that... misplaced sports talk show you just talked about since then. I mean, think about how many things we have done since 2010.
It's been a lot of time.
Lovie Smith was head coach. I mean, it's been a long time, but these Bears are NFC North champs since we last talked, and I think that they can make a serious run. The only roadblock that fears me in the NFC are the Saints at home.
Yeah.
They've never lost a home playoff game since Sean Payton and Drew Brees have been there.
There's a first time for everything.
Yeah.
No one's seen this defense. Let me just tell you something. My favorite thing that has been said about the Chicago Bears had nothing to do with the game that they played. It actually had to do with the Los Angeles Rams game last weekend, which was, it looks like the Bears broke the LA Rams.
Yeah.
Is that possible? I mean, the LA Rams were the hottest team in the NFC.
Kevin, you tell me. I think we'll find out this weekend.
Well, I think for me, and we talked about this last time you were in, Lou, about how there really isn't this national respect for the Bears. At least it's still, Chris Carter called the Bears defense good, not great,
there is
just
now.
Yesterday. There is more so, but I still think there are some doubters. So I think what happens is the Bears, you face this team and you're expecting, yeah, good Bears defense, and they completely overwhelm you with that pass rush. Akeem Hicks is in your face. Eddie Goldman is in your face. The Rams looked completely mediocre and overwhelmed in that game.
And I think, let me go into the news of the day, because today Kyle Long practiced. First time since he injured himself back on October 28th against the Jets. This is a big deal, and I'll tell you why. I'll transition into what you were talking about, Ro, because Wade Phillips, who's the defensive coordinator of the LA Rams, looks at the tape and says, oh my Lord, what did they do that did not allow Aaron Donald nor Dominican Sue become a factor in that football game? And they look at the Bears offensive line and they say, you know what? I think if we meet these guys in the divisional round of the playoffs, we're attacking Witzman on that Bears offensive line. Well, guess what? Kyle Long's back now. And I love that Kyle Long is back. Because number one, if he wasn't healthy, he wouldn't practice. He practiced today. Limited.
And he's fresh.
But he practiced. He's fresh. He can play. He can come back off injured reserve next week against the Vikings, which ideally is what this team wants, because it gives him a chance to get some game experience. And then he's ready to slide back into that offensive line for the playoffs. And if it's the wild card round first, in that first weekend, great. And if they win that game and the Rams get the bye, and then they play the Rams in the second round, bring it on.
It would be such a jolt to get him back. He said it's nice not to be a ghost anymore in the halls. I mean, of course he has an impact and he's a leader on the team, but getting a player like that back this late in the season is such a jolt to an offense.
He's a Pro Bowler. He's a four-time Pro Bowler.
You know, I'm so excited. It's weird. I have a feeling unlike any other in my Bears lifedom other than 1985, because this defense, I'm more excited when the defense is on the field than the offense. And only one other year as a football fan of any team have I ever felt that way, and that was 85. Because you figure, even if the offense is kind of sputtering a little bit or they're not as effective as you want them to be, and sometimes, and listen, there were times earlier in the season this offense was on fire, right? They've obviously not quite the same as they have been, and I don't know, you know, maybe the other teams have adjusted. There's a lot of tape on them now, so people, you know, they get to see what it is that, you know, all that trickery. It comes at a price because people get to see setups and there's only so many things you can do out of the trick formations. And so they get it. However, when the defense gets on the field, you never know.
And you got to watch when the defense is on the field. You don't know what they're going to do. The one thing I'll say about Matt Nagy is that it seems like every single game there's a new wrinkle. I mean, they started the Packer game in the T formation. I mean, that was so cool to see, and he keeps it fun for the team. And, yeah, I agree, like, some of the trick stuff or whatever you want to call it is probably not going to last. But there always does seem to be a little bit of a wrinkle each week for the Bears' offense. And I think they game planned perfectly with Trubisky last week against Green Bay. Matt Nagy talked about how, obviously, Trubisky looked a little rattled in that Rams game. They maybe rushed things along a little bit on offensively. He wanted Trubisky to get into a rhythm and a groove early on and keep things slow and steady, and just, you know, rather than overwhelm Green Bay's defense right off the start, they kind of worked him in and eased him in and had some short, easier passes. And I thought it was a perfect game plan with Trubisky in the offense against Green Bay.
You know what I've said? I've said this about Matt Nagy, and it's going back to when I first talked to him when he first got the job. What I loved about Nagy, and I sensed it right away, was the guy was smart enough to know what he doesn't know. And it takes a real special guy that reaches a head coaching position in the NFL. I mean, listen, there are 32 jobs to coach, be the head coach in the greatest football league in the world, okay? He's got one of those 32. Most of those guys come in, and all of a sudden that head blows up, and no one's going to tell them what to do. He said, I know nothing about defense. Obviously, I want you to keep Vic Fangio around. Mm-hmm. If it means paying Vic Fangio what you pay me, I understand the value of keeping him here because it was a top 10 defense a year ago without Khalil Mack, without Roquan Smith. Wow, I wonder how good they could be if Vic sticks around to lead the defense now with these two additions.
And they have the not just two additions. You got the best pass rusher, edge rusher, in football, mm-hmm. and you got the best rookie linebacker, middle linebacker, you know, the interior linebacker, inside linebacker in the NFL.
He's going to set a record for tackles in a season in a Bears uniform, and now breaking Urlachers.
Yeah, I mean, it's just so much fun. Mm-hmm. So much fun. Tickets.
It is the season of giving.
It is. You want to check out the Hawks taking on the Wild on Thursday? The Hawks are on a bit of a winning streak right now, kids.
Nice
I
to
like
see.
It.
Yeah.
Nice win over
3-1
Nashville.
3-1-1 the past week.
For all the right reasons, Four Seasons. Find them online at fourseasonsheatandcooling.com. This is, it's not better late than never in sports because sometimes it's too late. But this, I think, if it had gone to January 1, and the Hawks hadn't started to get on a bit of a roll, it was going to be OVER. You know, I think now with Cam Ward, you know, having to, knowing that he's going to be the guy.
And playing well.
Yeah, playing very well.
It's been great his past two starts.
Yeah. Knowing you have to, it's like when that happened with Scott Darling, and he knew he had to be the guy for that period of time.
Totally different mindset.
Yeah, and you just set up as opposed to the guy going, maybe I'm ready, maybe I'm not. They may also call the janitor in to goaltend, too. I'm not quite sure. So this is all good. All right. 312-981-7200, caller number 19. All right. Sweet Lou?
Yes, sir.
You're in attendance. Sweet Louis Canellis, who you can see on the Fox 32.
Thank you.
He does all this. He does, and on a Sunday, he's the second hardest working guy behind Khalil Mack. The only thing that
good point.
That Lou does not do that Khalil does is he can't back sack anybody. He's tried it, but he just can't do it.
I've sacked Jim Miller a couple times, but not on camera.
You know what? You're not the first guy to sack Jim Miller, as I recall.
Corey Wooten, I can't pull down.
Yeah, but it is an interesting. It's so much fun throughout the day on Fox. So thank you for doing that, and thank you for being the Bears guy forever and ever and ever. Yeah.
Post game show this Sunday after the game on Channel 50. By the way,
excellent. All right, let's talk about...
We won some money against the Packers.
Yes, we did.
I told you to take lay the points.
Mm-hmm.
I thought they'd win by 10 or more, but still, the over, what was it? It was minus 6, so the Bears covered.
Yeah, they covered. Barely covered. That was a little, you know, that was a tickler, if you know what I mean. You know,
I got a little bit of a surprise for you this time, Nick.
Ooh.
That's a wrinkled, wrinkled skin tickler right there.
Oh, gee.
Skin tickler? I don't know if I want to get into that.
Is that a gambling word or something else? Wrinkled
skin thing. No, but I got to make a tickler.
You know. I'd stay away from it, Anna.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
I've got a good little nugget before Lou does his thing. Bears have covered 7 straight first half spreads.
Ooh.
7 straight first half spreads are given 2.5.
Nick, can you give me a first half number?
I got it at 2.5 right now.
Toon hook, but for you, Lou, I'll make it 3.
Not 2.5?
I'm going higher. I'm going to make it for you because I'm not sure I like what you're going with there.
Can I buy the half?
You can buy the half. Yeah.
Okay, I'll do that.
You'll buy it down.
So I'm starting with a dime, and I'm putting, thanks to my friend Kevin over here, and his knowledge right there.
You're putting a dime
his
on
nugget.
This?
No, I'm going to put a dime on the game, and I'm going to take a nickel of that and put it on the first half, and I'm going to buy the hook.
Oh. It's 140. It's 140.
That's
140?
Okay. 140?
That's okay. All right. I'm writing this down right now.
Bears are the only team in the NFL that have led in the second half of every game of the season.
I'm going to suggest that people lay off the over-under here because you just never know here the way this... 43 is the over-under. That is a straight-up, you know, NFL average number.
Stay away.
I
actually would stay away from the whole game, to be honest with you.
Really?
Yeah.
Because you think, why? Well,
I think Bears minus 4. The Bears are either going to blow. They're going to win this game easily, or they're going to get beat. And if they get beat, I think 4 gets you out either way.
And remember, they have a rookie quarterback who's played just 6 games, and he's looked pretty good: 10 touchdowns, 6 interceptions, over 1,700 yards. But he's faced nothing like the Chicago Bears defense, which, by the way, leads the league with 35 takeaways.
Yeah, I think that's and right. I mean, when Jared Goff was like, "Oh my God, I want to quit football. I don't want to do this
The
anymore."
Look in his eyes, it's true.
Yeah,
look like a different quarterback.
Yeah,
against
LA
the Bears.
LA boy playing in 20-degree weather too.
Yeah, that's true. They're soft people.
My boys in Oakland have a word for a guy like that. I won't talk about it here.
Oh,
on
gosh.
The air.
Okay, I just want to say one thing. This, and then if I were you, I'd be a real man, and I'd take the over, but whatever. Lou, you don't want to do it.
No.
I'm going to stick with Lou, because I think he's been pretty good with these so far.
A dime on the game, so that's a nickel on the win, and a nickel on the...
And a nickel on the Niners plus 4, but the Bears are going to win this game.
Oh, Niners plus 4.
Yes, sir.
Oh, that's something totally different right there. All right, thank you, sweet Lou.
But the Bears are going to win.
Thanks,
Bears.
Lou.
Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 WGN.
Mm-hmm. It's Judy's last day. When are we going to have the tribute to Judy? Is that
coming
6
up.
O'clock hour?
Well, the Carnarvon Wagon rolls at 5:30. She's already been drinking all day. So
we've been tributing her for 32 years.
Yeah, really. What's left to say, really? Tribute? Come on.
Well, we have to do a little something.
Yes. Judy has presided over the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom for longer than, could possibly be imagined.
Most of my life.
I know. Yeah. Isn't that something?
Kind of, yeah.
We're similar in age, and we've been doing this since we were since we were 22 or whatever. And it's the craziest thing to think about that I've spent more time doing this than anything else. And because you think, like, high school is the longest period of time in your life, right?
Right.
Or grade school or something.
Right.
And it's like, it is just insane.
And even
to think
crazier
about
at the same place.
That
yeah,
is crazy.
Like, yeah, I just, I don't know what, I didn't have a resume really or nothing, you know.
And yet, you still became the best newswoman.
Yes, according to
Rokan,
I am. Yeah. Queen
Judy.
Everyone knows, Ro's always right.
Yeah, that's a problem.
It's a real problem for me, too.
Yeah. All right, you know what's not a problem for you? Because it's 5 o'clock.
It's the top 5 on the Rokan Show. Let's go.
3, 2, 1. Now, it's the top 5 at 5 on the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis. Sponsored by the Hip and Knee Center, where they help you feel new again.
Ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Get on with it.
Okay. Checking in at
number 5.
Number 5. This thing is not working.
Maybe I pressed all the buttons and they got stuck yesterday. Had some problems with that.
During a gaggle with reporters in the White House driveway, Sarah Sanders asked about what was asked whether the president's decision to pull out of Syria makes Vladimir Putin happy.
Look, the idea that Putin is happy about this is ridiculous. He's not. This puts a greater emphasis and makes them have to actually step up and do something and do more in the region. It puts them at a greater risk. So I think that's just silly.
Okay. That is so wrong on every factual basis. This clears the road for them not to have conflict with us, right? So it clears an entire, literally, a road that we were holding that is an important weapons pipeline to and from the from Lebanon and into weapons that are actually being used against Israel as well. So there's that. And whose side are the Russians on in this? The Iranians.
Right.
So, you know what? Shut the blank up.
He literally said, "This makes me very happy."
He put out the press release.
Donald
with the official
is great. Donald is good.
And this is another one of those issues that where the White House is on an island. You saw both the Fox News and the CNNs and the MSNBCs of the world both are absolutely going after the president for this, saying this is exactly what Putin wants.
Yep. And the military, not happy.
No.
Not happy. You look at the editorial, like the Military Times or Army Times, Navy Times, Air Force Times, all those publications, they are all editorializing against this. And Mattis,
don't forget about that.
Mattis quits and writes a letter that is not exactly like, "Hey, this was an honor to serve." His resignation letter was, "You moron."
It was.
I mean, this is that
Fox and Friends ripped Trump over this.
They did.
Fox and Friends. They ripped him over this.
But then told him how great he looks right afterwards.
Great hair.
Skin tips with Melania coming.
Gingerbread man. How dare they try to emasculate him?
All right. Checking in at
number 4.
Threat of a shutdown looms. Well, we don't really know here. Now, senators are scrambling to avert a shutdown, screams CNN right now. They were supposed to, weren't the senators supposed to come out a few minutes ago and tell us what they were going to do? Actually, for the last 2 hours, we've been waiting for Schumer and McConnell to come out and have a joint announcement.
Pence, Mulvaney, Budget Director Mulvaney, and Kushner, Jared Kushner, were in the office of Schumer until just recently, moments ago. We haven't heard anything.
Wow.
And then you heard...
not since Einstein, Roosevelt, and Helen Keller got together
as
such a meeting of the minds.
No votes planned over the weekend is what you're hearing.
Don't ever be able to look at Kushner. What are you doing here?
Right. I mean, the son-in-law is there. Can you imagine if a few years ago we were like, yes, right now Joe Biden and Malia Obama have just left the offices.
Oh, that would be bad. Meathead had a better standing in Archie Bunker's house.
And the brother of the First Lady, Craig Robinson, has also been in these meetings to discuss. You're like, what are you doing?
Amy Carter's fiance will be joining Anwar Sadat later.
Come on. Anyway, so here's the deal. Trump is now saying Democrats will be to blame if there's a shutdown, even though he said publicly last week, no, I want full responsibility.
So we need border security, and it's really up to the Democrats, totally up to the Democrats as to whether or not we have a shutdown. It's possible that we'll have a shutdown. I would say the chances are probably very good because I don't think Democrats care so much about maybe this issue, but this is a very big issue.
You know, it is interesting, though. He does say that, and that does resonate. I mean, people who want to believe that Democrats don't care about this, even though Democrats go, no, we care. We just don't want to spend that kind of money. But then you go, well, what do you want to spend the money on? He's playing right into a pretty effective vein of American politics right there. However, the bigger issue here is, listen, at least he went from $25 billion down to $5 billion for this wall. Right? That's
a lot of markdowns this time of year.
That's progress.
Well, but you're doing slats, so you've got a lot of extra
a
area
slats.
That doesn't need steel.
Yeah, steel slats, my wrestling name back in the day.
Which is funny, because I always ask this question. If a guy is in the business of building skyscrapers, what are the two biggest expenses? Steel and concrete.
Oh, boy.
Right? So you just wonder, at the other end of this, who is he trying to take care of? to put a wall in a place that they're, first of all, not going to get the land for because it's privately owned by American ranchers who don't, who love Trump and will hate him if he try, they try to take away his land. And all of a sudden you get a cow caught between two slats. That's going to be a problem.
Oh, man.
What's a prize heifer? I mean, we can't have that.
I think the cows are technically too fat to fit in those slats.
Not if they try. Now if they're like...
Maybe their head gets caught.
Maybe they'll see a cow on the other side and want to poke their head through, and the next thing you know, they're
that
stuck.
Could happen.
They're stuck. Have you ever seen that? You've seen that on YouTube, right?
Yeah.
All the time?
Cows stuck.
Adorable video.
We are going to be working very hard to get something passed in the Senate. There's a very good chance it won't get passed. It's up to the Democrats. So it's really the Democrat shutdown, because we've done our thing. You know, when Nancy Pelosi said, you'll never get the votes in the House, we got them, and we got them by a big margin, 217 to 185. So now it's up to the Democrats as to whether or not we have a shutdown tonight. I hope we don't, but we're totally prepared for a very long shutdown.
He lost my mother today. I never thought that was ever going to happen.
Your mom decided she no longer.
Yeah, my mom was. I think it's like the economy's not good, doing so great. It's the only thing that was the last thing she was holding on to. I wanted to go through the 100 other things that have happened before that that she didn't care about. But it's okay. I get it.
Apparently, they're including DACA funding to try to get the Democrats on board, but it doesn't appear as if they're any closer now to an agreement.
Yeah. I want to, let's bring chain migration back so Melania's legal. Let's do that. Hey, I should say not the economy. The economy is still strong. It's the stock market is down. So
right.
My mother's all upset about that. And her energy stocks. I got winter classic tickets for you. Bruins versus the Hawks, Notre Dame Stadium, New Year's Day. Visit the new Blackhawks Hockey House at 333 North Michigan Avenue. It's an exhibit. It's also got exclusive Winter Classic merchandise. And there's also an NHL Winter Classic Park in Millennium Park, December 29th through the 31st. The whole
Check
city's getting
out.
Involved in this.
Cool.
All right. Checking in at
number three.
Yahya Abdul-Mateen the second. I remember Yahya Abdul-Mateen the first, and he was really something. But the second, he stars in the new Aquaman film as Black Manta, who's he's the bad guy, right?
Yes, he is. Aquaman had a chance to save his father and didn't do it, so now he wants to avenge his father by killing Aquaman.
Oh,
he's obsessed with it.
So, how does this guy feel about this brand new character that is now being introduced to the silver screen?
That's what I'm most excited about right now. You know, I think the fans are getting a very strong introduction to David Kane, Black Manta. They're getting an introduction to his motives and some of the things that he's capable of. But as you say, he's a very smart character. He's multifaceted. He has emotional range and motivations. And so I'm really looking forward to the opportunity to bring this character. You know, it's funny, we've just introduced him, we're just introducing him today, but I'm already excited to show all the other parts of him the next time I get an opportunity to.
Really good actor. Very strong in this movie.
So we are assuming that this David Kane / Black Manta is going to be
a
recurring figure.
We could see more of him, yes, like Venom and some of these other characters that are maybe villains. Maybe.
See, Venom did well, didn't it, internationally?
Huge money. And Aquaman, which opens now, is out there now. Is already setting records worldwide. They released it a couple of weeks ago overseas, and it's doing huge numbers.
Underseas, really.
Well, that's interesting. The underseas money is also, I think that's why. A lot of people don't get that Atlantis box office.
True.
And the Kingdom of the Trench and
They're really
stuff.
Coming out, I'm sure. And Jason Momoa is in it, too.
Yes, he
one
is.
One of my favorites from Game of Thrones.
It looks like a lot of fun, but I think as you reviewed yesterday, don't anticipate Oscar nods.
It's an edible movie, as I call it, which means, you know, if you're in certain states where you can ingest, you'll enjoy it more. Here in Chicago, have a Pinot Noir if you can.
All right, go to one of those theaters.
There's a quote for the studio if they'd like it. If you're
high,
you're going to dig this one. Richard Rober.
Gummy bears.
Yes.
Exclamation point.
Judy's
yes.
good with that. She could hook us up with some of those.
All right.
Number two.
We've already learned that there's outcry over Baby It's Cold Outside. Some Christmas songs may not be aging as well as others. And that is why Miley Cyrus had some proposed changes for Santa Baby.
Santa Baby, I don't need any fancy jewelry. Not me. said I could update the lyrics.
Right, but I didn't think that you...
Don't want diamonds, cash or stars. Nothing that comes in a box. No more clubs, I've had enough. And I can buy my own damn stuff.
That's cute.
She's great.
You know, she is great. Although, I got to tell you, she had some weird moments right there.
Sure.
You know, when she was doing little curlicues on her hair, in her head, and she was sticking her tongue out, and we thought, okay, too much Molly. But, you know, she's really become an artist in her own right in a lot of ways.
Sure, yeah, and she has a lot of fun. She's only still, I think, maybe 26 or something like
yeah,
that. I mean, she's been around forever. And you know, she had to grow up in a, you know, in the public arena and
right.
go through all that stuff. But I think she's talented and has a great sense of humor about herself.
And one of the most daring displays ever on Saturday Night Live last Saturday, where she performed in a jacket without anything else underneath it.
Yes.
And and she was moving around, and at any moment she thought, uh-oh. Yeah.
Somewhere Janet Jackson was sitting on a sofa going, where did she get that double stick tape?
Right.
I needed that.
It was unbelievable. Incredible. What was going on there.
Yes.
But wait, there's more.
Stop interrupting me when I talk, and don't text me pictures of your.
Its lyrics are just
wow.
amazing.
That ring scared me too. By the second we were there,
and finally,
number one.
It just struck me what that actually rhymed with.
Yes.
Because I was thinking junk, but no, that's not what it was.
No,
I get it now.
No. Yeah. Moving on, number one.
All right. Santa Claus and Special Counsel Robert Mueller have teamed up in a new late show, holiday cartoon, to take down the president. The cartoon, which aired last night, starts when Santa gets fired by the president.
Oh, no.
Dear lying Santa, you're fired. Sincerely, Donald J. Trump. P.S. Why didn't I get my border wall last year?
Santa, come quick. You're all over CNN.
Kris Kringle, also known as Santa Claus, has been fired just days before Christmas. This reporter hopes it does not jeopardize the choo-choo train he asked for this Christmas.
But then things in this guy. This is the cartoon that Colbert produces, right? That's on Comedy Central. Here's the deal, though. It takes a little weird turn here when Robert Mueller enters. Of course, we know that Robert Mueller is a decorated Vietnam combat veteran, right? And he comes through to try to get Santa's job back.
What can we do?
We can throw the book at him.
Yeah, he stole little Timmy's lollipop in second grade.
I'm sorry, Kringle, but we need hard evidence of collusion.
Yo ho! I got your evidence of collusion right here!
The pee-pee tape?
But how?
Santa, remember when I was stationed as an elf on the shelf in Moscow?
Of course.
Well. Oh, disgusting! That's the pillow! That's the pillow! This nails them, fellas! Leave me.
So, Bob? What do you say?
I wouldn't normally operate this way, but if we're going to save Christmas, we need to leak that tape.
Leak.
Wow. Oh, wow. All right. So some things are better than others.
I like that Miley Cyrus one. That was good.
Yeah.
I do, too. I want to go back and listen to the whole thing.
Yes, I'd like to end on the Miley Cyrus. Can you play the
just
second
one.
Half? Because now I'm going to really laugh harder at the rhyming here.
The top five at five.
To alcohol, the cause of and solution to all of life's problems.
Yeah! Drink, man, I'm gonna get gas. Gonna get high, man, I ain't had enough. Leave me a triple shot of that stuff. Gonna get drunk, won't you listen right here? I want one bourbon, one shot.
makes women appear more attractive, and makes a person virtually invulnerable to criticism.
Alcohol is a way of life. Alcohol is my way of life, and I aim to keep it.
Find it, buy it, make it. I don't care. Just get me some booze and fast.
I can't take this much longer. I gotta have a beer.
Fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, sir.
I'm WGN meteorologist Demetrius Ivory. Judy's having a coughing
attack. Judy is having a coughing attack, I just heard.
It's okay. Oh, no. Sorry, I stepped in to help.
We were going to save you, but we were talking.
Are you eating peanuts? What
you
was
know,
the
I took a swig of my delicious coffee, and it went down the wrong way.
We nearly
you know,
lost
you,
her.
You can try and try and try and make me look bad, but it won't work.
32 years. Wow. Actually, 31 years, 51 weeks,
here we go.
And 4 days into it, she finally makes her first mistake.
I said that yesterday. Oh my gosh. She said it's not a mistake.
Hmm. Well, it wasn't because although I was choking and couldn't talk, I still forced myself to because other people couldn't jump in and save me.
No one did. It always comes down to me.
I saved myself.
At one point, we had a producer in my ear. Judy's choking and she can't catch her breath. She's not able to speak. You guys might want to say something.
Right. Well, like, call 911. It was the first thing one would think to say. But
I mean, because it wasn't like I didn't ask. I said to Brian on the intercom, I can't talk. Please have them take it. And nobody was paying attention.
You know, she's just going to be such a delight at that little boutique in Benton Harbor she'll be opening. Oh,
you bet I will. I'm like, you get out.
The little bell rings. What do you need? What are your hours? 11 to 11:15, Tuesdays and Thursdays, closed for the season.
Do I look open?
Do you want that puka shell or not? It's so fun. Is the manager here?
It'll be great.
Yeah,
it'll
be fun. That is exactly what I see. Oh, well, listen, Carnarvon Wagon is out, and this is a very special one, perhaps the most special one we've ever had on this program.
Mm-hmm.
So this is to celebrate 32 years of greatness of Judy Pilak on this very radio station. Mm. Well, let's just say at least 4 years of greatness. I don't know what it was like through the other 28.
It was great just so you know.
But I want to say that you are going to be missed immensely. You're an amazing component to the sound of this radio station because you need a voice of authority, angry, unrelenting authority to do news in this town and to do it right. And you are the you're just the best.
If you'd like to introduce me as angry old lady, you may today only.
No, that's not
who you are.
There's a great warmth underneath that. It reminds me of when Kathy Bates came onto the office as the who bought Sabre and then bought Dunder Mifflin, and she'd come in with her big dogs and take charge. But you knew there was a warm heart underneath somewhere that we might find one day.
I'm really just a little kitten.
Yeah. All right.
We love
Nobody
you, Judy.
We love you.
We love you, Judy. I love you guys. It has been a blast. Thank you so much.
The Judy Pilak Show with Ro Khan and Anna DeVellantes, as I've called it last
year. It really has been that way.
So she's called it.
Who's in charge?
Our first remote that we ever did as a team was in Judy's backyard, actually, in Downers Grove, as you may recall.
I just saw that picture.
Aww. And that was... and I will never forget. I mean, Judy, she clearly stocked the pond for that particular remote. Mm. And it was a ton of fun. And we were in this bar, and we were just, the bar remote is like a radio tradition that I don't particularly enjoy. And we had so much fun. And people, knew Judy, were gigantic listeners of Judy, were neighbors of Judy. And some of her friends were there. And I got to tell you, all the friends I've ever met of Judy's, save one, are a ton of fun.
Wow.
There's one that
Which
I don't
one
know.
Is that?
I don't want to talk about.
The one you played poker against and beat you?
Yeah, that's the one, yeah.
Oh,
my gosh.
Oh, yeah.
That one. She's quite the poker player.
Yeah, she's a handful. Yeah.
She had a few choice words for you and Richard as well.
Yeah. And everybody else, and Harry Carey's.
We have right now, though, another, this is a, that we have a relative in the Carnarvon Wagon slot here.
Oh, wow.
Which is pretty interesting. Jim Doering is here along with Lisa Taff, and they.
Oh my God, Tafe.
Tafe. I just asked a producer that. It's so funny. And it was Taff for sure.
A classic Judy gentle correction.
Right. You idiot. That's your married name.
Yes, that's my legal name. So get it right.
Oh well, good. Well, excellent. Now I can use your credit card. The hell are you telling us?
Yeah, good
luck
spelling it.
And that's why I was having so much trouble.
Yeah, I know. It's everyone does.
And you guys, let's see now, Lisa, you're the vice president of sales for Source Code Beverage. What is Source Code Beverage?
So Source Code Beverage is the company name. Okay. So we have a couple of different brands underneath that. We brought two of them here today. One is our bottled wine, which is called SR262. And our fabulous canned wine, which is called Backpack.
Canned wine. The bottled wine is terrific. Very good. Now, the Backpack wine, interesting.
Is that a new thing, canned wine? I don't know if I've seen that before.
It is. It's out in the market
Seems
now.
Convenient.
Yeah, well, here we go.
Super easy to drink. you could find us like down at Soldier Field instead of drinking a...
You could shotgun a can of wine instead of a Miller Lite.
Millennials are getting worked up here.
They really are.
Hold on a second. This is genius. I don't want to tell you why this is genius. This is genius. Because, you know, a lot of couples go to Bears games, right? Right? Or sporting events.
Go Bears.
Not just a bunch of guys going together. Because, you know, especially, you know, depending on how this all goes, the wife is like, I'm going with you to the Bears game. You know, because sometimes there is bigger, better fans than the husband. And women, you know, there may be more wine drinkers in that than I have been in this circumstance that is I don't want a beer. Can you go find me the wine? And to find the wine,
it's very difficult.
At Soldier Field for years and years and years and years, you had to have, I found a special spot, which, you know, was very good for my love life. But
this would be helpful.
A brilliant idea, wine in a can, because it's really good.
Yeah,
it is good.
Great grapes coming out of Washington.
A rowdy red and a snappy white.
Yeah. Right.
It's from Washington.
Remember Snappy White on Laughing? And he was fantastic.
Yeah, he was great. Great.
I'm going to try the red here.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah,
white was really good.
So know that we're actually talking about a can.
Excellent. There's that awesome.
That is not from Rose sound effects machine. That was the real opener there.
That's the sound you want to hear right before you drink good wine.
That is really good.
And for people too, we'll send out stuff on social media, but it kind of looks like a Red Bull. It's like the size of a Red Bull can.
It is.
So I'm also thinking like easily sneaked into movie theaters when I have to review Aquaman, for example.
Absolutely one of my top reasons that I love it.
Sneakable.
If it's highly right sneakable. Into my purse.
Yeah, it could be called purse as opposed to backpack.
That's right.
I love that. What a great idea. The red tastes amazing.
It's actually really good, right? Anna and I are drinking wine out of cans, which a lot of people thought we'd be doing at some point in our career anyway.
It would be perfect.
Shotgun
I saw Devlantis and Roper again. Boy, those two.
That's how we've been in some predicaments together before. We just thought you would be on Lower Wacker doing that.
Oh, here we go. How's that retirement shaping up there, kid?
1 hour and 15 minutes to go.
William Devane's got some gold coins for you where he's waiting in the next room.
Wow, give that man a canned wine and woo.
Yeah, he's on fire. William Devane will fly. He's flying his helicopter around our building right now, willing to give you some retirement.
I'm telling you, honestly, though, it's really good. Backpack wine is terrific.
The other thing I want to, that I think is so important about red wine especially, people are afraid to serve red wine chilled because there's a lot of wine snobs out there. If you can make a red wine, a really affordable red wine, taste like an $80 bottle of red wine by chilling it down by 5 or 7 degrees, it's a way.
Rose was the one that introduced me to that concept.
There's no reason not to have cold red wine, and when it's in the cans, it makes it even easier.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're having a party at your house and you've got a bucket full of beers, why not throw in some cans of wine?
I know.
It's happy.
I know.
White,
it does.
Red,
it
rosé.
Does. And I'm blaming it on the women, but I also would rather have wine than beer. Yeah. And so
that's true. You know,
that
you like
so
both.
I'm actually patient zero for this. I'm like I wasn't just going to get the wine
We're trying to make it easy on you.
Yeah.
For some of those bad moms out there, too, not that I would advocate this, but, you know, again, right in the backpack, you know?
Sure.
Got to meet the other moms later.
The
you have your coffee.
Holder?
Yeah.
It fits in the stroller. What a good idea.
This
should have been done for me 5 years ago. That would have changed everything.
In the hockey bag, in the soccer bag.
Just remember, kid, to keep these away from the kids. That's the only thing that we have to figure out.
I have a question, though, about the... Yes. Okay, so the backpack wines, are they... Can we get them in stores? Can we go to a grocery store? Can we go to a liquor store? Where do we get our backpack
wine? We're still relatively new, but we are available right now at Heinen's and Whole Foods, some Mariano's, Big Top Tap on Belmont, Carnival Grocery, and a shout-out for anyone who may be traveling on the trains. We're also available in Ogilvie Station.
Oh,
so when
gosh.
You're
now we're talking.
Heading on to the train to go home, you can
this is a
crack one
this
of
is going to go big.
Oh.
This is huge.
Yeah, Ovi Bar and Grill sells them by the can.
And you just take that. Can you take it down without the guy in the hat getting mad at you?
Yeah, you can. Can. They're very it's nice absolutely about it. Legal.
Yeah. Wow.
I did not know that.
And quite delicious for the ride home.
Now, here's the thing. You got to make sure that you time yourself properly, though, in a situation like that.
What's the timing that's appropriate?
Just, you know, before the like your bladder spasms up. I mean, that's the thing. That's with me. That's the one thing. You drink enough wine, like, quickly, and then the next thing you know, like, God, I got to go. Like, more so than beer. I don't know why.
You got to be careful with that.
On the train.
A mutual friend of ours once woke up in Richton Park, the last stop, about 15 stops past his, sir.
And he was actually going,
What are you, Clarence? What are you telling me here? They might have had 3 cans of wine, though.
Right.
That might have been a good thing. I don't know.
I love it.
And that's what's nice about this size. It's about 8 ounces of wine. So it's a
healthy pour.
It's a nice, healthy pour.
I like that.
And it's solid, well-made wine from the Columbia Valley in Washington.
Which is excellent, by the way. That's that whole north coast that is
Pacific Northwest.
The Pacific Northwest. You get the, obviously, people who are Pinot Noir fans, they understand that Oregon is just the Willamette.
Some of the best.
Is the best. And Washington has great stuff going. Because the climate is almost exactly the same. And the climate is very similar to France.
Right. Well, I just saw sommelier's show, and they had the best in the world come together, and they blind taste tested the Pinot Noirs, and they against the French ones and the California one. So the West, the Pacific area.
Yeah, if you flatten out a map, you can draw a line straight from the middle of Oregon and Washington right over to Burgundy. So they're right where they need to be.
Cool. Okay. Anna, this would really go well in the trunk of the Tesla. So the next time it peters out like a Hot Wheels car on an orange plastic track and we have nowhere to go,
Richard and I have very bad luck.
In the trunk.
We should not be on the metro together. We should not be in a car together. Oh, it took us 35 minutes to get to Hubbard.
5 minutes from here.
What? 5 minutes from here. Hubbard in Orleans.
Smoothed out that ride in L.A.
Yeah, would have made it.
One in the tunnel the other day.
Yeah, exactly.
Can of wine might have helped brilliant idea. For the passenger in that case.
So there's many uses for the back.
I love it. That's such a great idea.
Really.
Yeah, and it's a new package.
Elon
some
Musk.
People get intimidated. I didn't hear.
Why is that?
I just do. Mm. By the way, I think wine in a can like a Red Bull. Genius.
Oops. Amazing to see the great Johnny Depp joining us for one last.
Right. I'm surprised he likes Washington wines being French now.
I don't really care about anything anymore. If you've listened and watched me over the last
year. A tough weekend from his ex Amber Heard is in that Aquaman movie making out with Jason Momoa. Oh. So I'm sure that's
I'm not happy about that.
Don't mention
Pirates
her. She's
before,
a shrew.
Yeah.
Yeah, she is a shrew.
Right underneath Captain Jack Sparrow's boat, this was happening. Little did he know.
Shrew and that even worse.
I hear nothing.
And by the way, I have not at a single time cleaned myself in the last
night. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, Johnny, too much. Just too much information.
Come on now. That's madness.
Oh, God. Anyway,
this
is right up Johnny's alley, by the way, the wine in the can.
Oh, my gosh.
This is a perfect. Is it in 6 packs? Is it like
in a 4-pack? Actually.
4-pack.
I like the 4-pack because then you don't feel so crazy if you're just by yourself. I'm just a 4-pack.
I'll leave 2 for tomorrow.
Because if I get the 6-pack, I'm always, oh, yeah, she's in the car. Yeah, my imaginary wife. But if it's a 4-pack, all right, it's a weekend. Yeah.
Feels good. Easy to talk your way through.
The same thing when I order room service. That's for 2. A bottle of the bread and the chicken fried steak and the tenders as well.
Oh, can I get a gin and tonic?
When I run the shower in the bathroom at the door, go, honey, the food's and the drinks are here.
Oh, my God. All right, Canarba Wagon.
It's obviously rolling.
Of Judy Pollack.
Wow.
And Jim Doering is here.
Hi, Judy.
And Lisa, who is your sister-in-law's? What are you?
Yes.
Your sister-in-law's.
Yep.
Okay,
we're outlaws.
You moved on me here.
Oh, sorry. Right.
Okay.
She's my favorite outlaw. Have you ever drank wine with Judy?
I have.
I just want to hear the story.
So many times.
How many years? More than maybe more than 32.
Okay. And when you guys were saying, "Oh, we're going to miss hearing your voice," I'm going to still hear your voice for a
I feel like you guys are going to be on the Facebook a lot. Chardonnay Day
after a bunch of wine. Yeah.
Can I tell you something? We're really not going to miss her voice. We were just being really nice about
wine.
Oh my God, it's real shrill after 5. I mean, just forget about.
She's
it.
Judy is over honest anyway, but when she has a couple wines there, she's brutally honest.
I kind of am, aren't I?
That's why I love her.
You know what I'm going to do here? I'm going to give away a pair. You guys survived the separation of the family. And you're still friends.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
It's even better.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
Oh, my God. A lot of wine.
She sells wine. Of course we're friends.
Judy's not a fool.
The custody of the relative has got the wine business.
Yeah, really. Yeah. That one's mine.
I took Lisa and I didn't care about anyone else. Sunlight on the Lido. Walk me
Listen to the lyrics. Here they come. And we're going to have to say goodbye to our girl today. Our goodbye girl.
Yes. Girl gone.
That's more like
girl
it.
Girl bye.
If you've seen that movie, it's more like it.
Yes, now that you mention it. Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Double cross Judy and see what happens, Ben Affleck.
Oh, boy. Oh,
yeah,
boy. Oh,
you'll
boy.
Be
oh
sorry
boy.
You ever did.
So, Judy, I mean, we've been saying goodbye to you for a month now, but I went on. But now we really is. That was
I know,
your,
right?
That was your second to last newscast. Are you going to do a last newscast here at the bottom?
Yes, I am.
It has been
and
so,
wait till
so
you
much.
Hear my tease. It's going to be the best tease ever.
You're such a good tease.
I know. Did you read that in the bathroom?
Along with your phone number.
This was really, it was an honor to work with you.
You
I'm
too.
I'm saying that, and I mean that, actually. I mean so little here.
It's been a great, great run. And the show has been so much fun. It has. I know. You're probably like, well, then why are you leaving? But you know, all journeys must end.
This is as good a time as any.
And you know what? Yeah,
the
pile is pretty good. And yeah, it's all aligned. The stars are aligned. It's time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, it is. And after you do this long enough, it's funny, like any job. And this is, you know, the people, they say, well, you must have a lot of fun doing it. And I almost embarrassed to say, yes, we do.
Absolutely.
Right?
I know. You kind of downplay
it. It's almost embarrassing.
No, it's still work.
Yeah, right. We say, yeah.
Right, wait a minute. It doesn't really feel like it.
Yeah.
I always like to say, I get paid to talk.
Right. We're the luckiest
Think
people
about
in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And but your job is different than ours because you bear the responsibility of carrying the WGN News banner, the brand with you when you do it, and to be able to move in and out of whatever we were doing here or any of the other shows that you've ever worked on that sometimes can be maybe not always serious about things when serious stuff is going on. You got to change the tone. It's an instinct that Judy has in a way that is so rare, and it's so important to be able to change gears, to make something, to come off of a bunch of stupid stuff that we're talking about, or, you know, whomever it happens to be, and then you deliver something, because the audience expects to get facts and to know what's actually going on.
Right. And it happens so often on the show where you are talking about stupid things, and I have to, I have to doom, reverse course, and I'm kidding.
You don't have to do it in the tease, of course.
I'm kidding. I'm so happy you said that. And I want to feel like I have had this high standard all these years that I've never crossed, and I think I've held it up.
Well, you
well.
Do. And what's interesting about you, Judy, is that you're so professional and serious about getting the news right and putting things together in an understandable way and not missing a thing. But then you're completely unserious when it comes to your personal.
Yes.
Like, you can have fun and let it loose, and you are so much fun to be with.
Right. Yeah.
We're gonna miss you.
And I hope that's come across, because I want to make sure people understand that. You know, I mean, a lot of times people will call up to complain, and they'll be like, "Oh, you know," and the news person. I'm like, "No. The news person is not saying that."
That's
I say
right.
The news, I just report the facts.
Absolutely.
But at 7:01, woo! Might want to go on Twitter and see what I say.
Yeah.
I'm kidding.
The other...
I won't do that either.
And you've always figured out a way to get yourself out of the trouble of being a news person on a personality show, which a lot of news people then go over the top and become a cartoon, or they become, you know, they ding up their credibility. And you've never done that. And that
I've
is
tried.
That to that is, and I know that that's something you've really worked on honing that really fine line and knowing exactly when to step on it. Because I mean, you're fun in the fun topics, but you never let it bleed into what the journalism is. So that's really something.
I have taken my character a little bit too seriously, but I'm glad I did.
But also your play on words when you are the best writer. And I started out in the newsroom with you, and I've not even close to mastering any of the things you told me, but
or remembering them, but go ahead.
No, but the news writing, the way she would take it's two sentences and cut almost every single word out of it just to leave it to the meat.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I that skill
that takes a
she's
long
the best.
Time
to be able to say so much with so little
brevity.
Yeah
I've
never been able to do that, but you
keep trying. One day it could happen.
See right, what Ro? You did right there?
One day one you can day aspire to be Judy.
Could happen. Yeah.
Could
yeah
happen. No, you never know.
Radio news writing is really, it's a very different art than it is for writing television. Mm-hmm. Or yeah. Because you don't have the pictures. You have to be able to create tell a story, create the pictures in people's minds, and you have to do it with incredible efficiency. And it was taught to me early on, it's you make it data rich. Make mm-hmm it full of calories when mm-hmm you write so that every word counts. And that is an impossible thing, and you do that really, really, really well.
One of my favorite saying, words matter. And yeah, that could apply to so many different things.
Oh,
but words
sure
you remind matter people of that. Every word matters.
It does.
And less is more.
Yeah. Less is always more, yes.
Oh, less is more did work here for many years, I remember.
It wasn't that good.
Yeah. Anyway, so you're, people have been asking me about this a lot.
Me too.
Of late. And so what's Judy going to go do? Why would she do this? Where is she going to go? And the thing is that you get a little bit of time to think about what it is you want to do. This is very, you know what? This is very under the Tuscan sun without a divorce in the middle of it.
Are you going to go to Italy and,
I don't think Italy. I am going to the Cayman Islands, though. And I'm going to sit on a beach and decide what I'm going to do.
She's going to become a cash mule for some billionaire somewhere.
I might stay in the Cayman Islands. There's a lot of radio stations there. If I was going to work at another radio station, believe me, it would be on a beach somewhere.
If someone gives you a suitcase to carry home, just don't accept it.
Why? And I mean, how easy would it be to do a newscast, really, in the Caymans? It's 85 and sunny again.
Who wants to work when it's, you know, people think, all right, well, I'll go down there and do it. Then all of a sudden it turns into work in a hot environment. Which is not as much fun because you want to be outside. It's even more like
it's a
right
pretty
now,
laid back culture. Though.
Yeah, there's
that's different.
You know, aqua blue water there. That,
still got to show right? up on time.
Yeah, and sand and a hammock. I'm okay. I'm
good to be in the hammock at work.
Oh, yeah, I will be. My margarita in my hand.
Are you going to check in with us at all, or is that
yeah,
this sort of?
I'm good. Please,
Goodbye Girl continues, right?
Yes, Goodbye Girl will continue for the year.
Okay,
and I'll be calling your show.
Oh, God.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
Oh, great. I mean, I'm in the middle of a great tribute tour, and I was like, oh, no, really?
You sound like the newsroom. They're not going
to
answer. Anymore.
We're going to have you as a Newsaroos celebrity.
There you go. I'd be honored
to be. The queen of Newsaroos.
Great.
Can she just play against herself?
I mean, I'll just play, period.
Yeah, you just take all the questions.
Mm-hmm.
All right, would you like to say something here? Because we have, and listen, Willie Wilson is here with his band. This is not Willie Wilson, politician, guy who wants to be mayor of Chicago.
No.
This is Willie Wilson, singer, entertainer,
mm-hmm,
at the way that millions of people around the country know him from his gospel show that
right
runs on WGN TV.
Man, that is a good-looking band. There are like
Sing-sation.
15 people up there.
Which is, Sing-sation is like a big nationally syndicated show. And that's, it's kind of an interesting thing because Willie's a very religious fellow, mm-hmm, and and they're amazing. Wait till you hear this. I mean, this is like, it's like the Count Basie Orchestra in there right now.
Yeah.
It's really, it's
serious professional.
It is really, it's really, really, really cool. So we're going to get to that. We're going to play some Christmas music. We're going to have some fun. And I think this is an appropriate time for Judy to kiss us all off.
Suckers.
You mean like right now, this minute?
Well, if you'd like to say something. I mean,
no, I'm going to say something at the end of
okay
my newscast. Would you like to hear my tease?
Sure.
Judy's last newscast coming up at the bottom of the hour. Stay tuned.
See, words matter. See what happened
words
right there?
Words matter.
All right.
I thought that was pretty efficient and to the point.
Violetta, now it's your turn.
Okay.
She's going to cry.
I'm emotional aww about this. It's just, okay, continuing on. I'm a professional.
Oh, okay. All right. See, now we're trying. Facts matter, too.
Dr. Willie Wilson.
Dr. Willie Wilson right there.
Great.
And they are live in studio. Willie is with us right now. And how many pieces are in this orchestra behind you right now, Willie?
Well, we have what we have here now. I guess about 12 or of us now, but we do have a 32-piece orchestra.
32-piece orchestra. Wow. And 12, these 12 are going to sound like 100 pieces by the time we're done here. Because I was just listening to them in rehearsal and in Studio G, our great performance studio here.
Beautiful studio.
And it is, this is going to be something special. Something very, very special. And, you know, Willie and I have been friends for many years. Mm-hmm. I love Willie as a personality. I love him as a television personality and a guy and a political provocateur. He's a lot of fun. But he is a businessman, a genius businessman, but an incredibly, incredibly, incredibly talented musician and singer and also producer of things. That's really what this is all about, because you have the vision for what this is, for what this should sound like. So it's really, really,
it is awesome.
Really, really great. All right, so we're going to do a Christmas song to start?
Yeah, let's do a little bit of a Christmas song for all you guys. And the young lady who is going to be retiring, this is to her as well.
To you, so, Judy.
That's Judy. Okay, good. So, by the way, if you want to come in and sing with us, both of you all, Ro and Amy.
Hey, you know, you don't need me doing that. Well, no, trust me.
You don't want either one of us near the singing microphone. But I Judy should come out there.
When it's pretty.
Come on in, Judy.
Yeah, we don't need any trouble here.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what, we're going to do a little bit of short little songs and a couple of Christmas songs. Let's try this for Silent Night, guys. We'll do a little bit short of it and everything. If you get the spirit, just come on in here, though. Here, guys.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, Mary, trust my guy. Mary.
holy,
holy infant,
so just a tender,
tender.
Willie Wilson and Sensation. That is something special right
there. I needed
there.
That.
Yeah. I mean, you know, talk about the spirit. Thank you. Thank you. We've got more music from Willie Wilson. I know. Yeah, no, that Willie Wilson. The guy who's running for mayor. That guy right here. For people who are not familiar, they don't know Sensation. They've not seen the show. That is really something. When you made that transition, that was... I mean, that was goosebumps material, my friend. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And now, if you will just indulge me for a minute, I would like to say to my WGN family, and that, of course, means all of you wonderful listeners out there, thank you for tuning in to hear me for the past 32 years. To the listeners in your homes and cars and to the many, many cohorts I have had at this radio station listening to me in the newsroom, all that drama, all the tears, and of course, all the abundant laughter. So much laughter. So many great memories. I'm not going to do it. So, those memories are stored right up here in my very big head, as you all know that I have. But today, it is my heart that is big and bursting with love and admiration for all of you for being with me as I got married at this radio station, raised three great kids while I was at this radio station, battled cancer, and beat cancer while I was at this radio station. So I have spent most of my life here with all of you right by my side. I will never forget your kindness and your compassion in making me a better person and a better broadcaster. Really, someone just handed me like a napkin. No, I'm not using this. Okay, listen. I will always have a special place in my heart for all of the young people, all of the interns I've mentored in the past 32 years. You have been the most rewarding part of my job. Those of you who have gone on to do great things in this world, it has been an honor to have hopefully helped you along the way. Finally, I'll get there. To my sisters here at the radio station and those in my off-air life, you know how much I love, respect, and admire you, and you all know you are the best, and you know who you are. It hasn't always been easy being a woman in this industry, but every struggle has been worth it. Keep fighting, my sisters, the good fight, because it does matter, and it makes us who we are, and it makes such a difference to those girls who one day will be one of us. So, for the final time, I'm Judy Pilak, WGN News. Peace out.
Very nice.
That was beautiful.
Wow. I never thought I would cry at anything Judy ever said.
I know, I'm crying now. I can't believe I'm crying. This is the first tears I've ever shed in my life.
We all believe that, too.
You made all of us cry.
Yeah, that was beautiful. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for your service
to Chicago.
Thank you for having me.
All right.
You'll hear me again.
Oh,
stay tuned.
I know. We'll hear. Yeah, I know exactly.
Thank you, Ron.
About 3 weeks on BBM. All right. let us get back to the action here with Willie Wilson and Sensation. As this is our last show before Christmas, obviously.
Yes.
And New Year's for the Rokon show with Anna DeVlantis. Mm-hmm. What a fitting way, in a true Chicago way, to celebrate the holiday season with Willie Wilson, a very dynamic, famous, important Chicagoan, and a guy who now wants to run the city, too. So I don't know.
A true success story, right?
What that is all about. Yeah, a true success story and a legend in this town.
Mm-hmm.
But really also a musical legend. So why don't you take us through the holiday season here and take us out to the holiday season, Willie. What do you got for us?
Well, I'm going to do a couple of short ones, and that'll make it all in one. So this one for you here, for the friend, and we're going to come back with Change, and then a little bit of Go Tell It on the Mountain. And all our sin read to bear. Oh, in a world privileged to carry. Oh, I said everything, everything to God in prayer. Jingle bell here since it's the holidays, all right? Jingle bell, jingle all the way. Thank you.
into the snow. One horse over sleigh. Oh, the field we go. And laughing all the way. Bells on bobtail ring. Big and very bright.
That is Willie Wilson. Yeah, that Willie Wilson and Sensation on Live Music Friday right here on the Rokon Show with Anna DeVlantis and back with more music. We'll finish it up with them in just a moment. Willie Wilson and Sensation are here. And they are about to give us some more Christmas cheer. We're going to put this up on podcast. You got to listen. This is, again, one of the perfect uses. If you have a smart speaker, this is a great way to listen to this because the sonic perfection that are Willie Wilson and Sensation, unbelievable. Here we go. Give us a little Christmas, Willie.
All right, here we go. Go tell it on the mountain. My Lord would call me and I wouldn't be ready.
Merry Christmas, Sensation.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Now it feels like Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Oh, man. He's that is something so special right there.